Well, it's lovely to see you all. Thank you for coming out on a dark night. It's lovely to see you. Let's begin with a prayer. Father, we thank you for fellowship together this evening around your word. We pray that your spirit will work graciously amongst us this evening, opening the word to us and opening us to receive your word, that we may love you and please you, and might have a biblical understanding of our identity in Christ. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. While walking in the forest one day, a man found a young eagle who had fallen out of its nest. He took it home and put it in his farmyard, where it soon learned to eat and behave like the chickens. One day, a naturalist walked past the farm and asked why it was that the king of the birds should be confined to live in the farmyard with the chickens. The farmer replied that since he had given it chicken feed and trained it to be a chicken, it had never learned to fly. Since it now behaved as the chickens, it was no longer an eagle. Still, it has the heart of an eagle, replied the naturalist, and can surely be taught to fly. He lifted the eagle toward the sky and said, "You belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle, however, was confused. He did not know who he was. And seeing the chickens eating their food, he jumped down to be with them again. The naturalist took the bird to the roof of the house and urged him again, saying, "You are an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." But the eagle was afraid of his unknown self and world, and jumped down once more for the chicken food. Finally, the naturalist took the eagle out of the farmyard to a high mountain. There he held the king of the birds high above him and encouraged him, saying, "You're an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle looked around, back towards the farmyard, and up to the sky. Then the naturalist lifted him straight towards the sun, and the eagle began to tremble. Slowly he stretched his wings, and with a triumphant cry, soared away into the heavens. Maybe that the eagle still remembers the chickens with nostalgia. May even be that he occasionally revisits the farmyard. But as far as anyone knows, he's never returned to lead the life of a chicken. As a Christian, you are an eagle. You are perfect. You are accepted in Christ. You have nothing to feel insecure about. But as a sinner, we are chickens. Our true identity as children of the King is obscured. So we behave sometimes just like the world around us. We think like the world around us. And this means that we are assaulted by all kinds of wrong thinking. And tonight, we're thinking about this very basic question: am I rubbish? I certainly feel rubbish sometimes. Many people tell me they feel rubbish. They look at impressive Christians and they think to themselves, I'm nothing like as good as them. I'm rubbish. I can't do what they can do. I can't live up to them. I can't keep up with them. All the time, the world, the flesh, which means our sinful nature, the devil is trying to crush us so that we feel inferior. We feel rubbish. We feel like a chicken. We act like a chicken. We scrabble around in the dust when we should be soaring on wings like an eagle, rising up, triumphing over adversity. I obviously come from Wales. Wales has a national inferiority complex. Wales was conquered by Edward I of England in the 13th century, and we've been trying to get our own back on the rugby pitch ever since. Wales is a conquered nation. We are ruled by our conquerors. That leaves its mark. In the 19th century, Welsh culture was largely stamped out by Victorian governments. There was a report into Welsh life known as the Treachery of the Blue Books. It was perceived as English cultural imperialism. And that's how it's still viewed today. This period is associated with the Welsh knot or note. Any child heard speaking Welsh in school was given a stick or a plaque. This was handed over to the next child who spoke Welsh. The child still holding the plaque at the end of the day was punished. This was telling Welsh people their culture was rubbish, their language wasn't worth learning, their history wasn't worth learning. So Welsh culture today is working class and feels both angry and inferior towards more affluent and successful English culture. I've had to carry that inheritance around Oxford, Belgravia, Cambridge. I understand what it is to feel inferior. I guess we all feel inferior sometimes. Why shouldn't we feel inferior? Well, three headings on your sheets. We are made in the image of God and are equal. We are fallen into sin and are equal. We are saved by Jesus and are equal. Firstly, then, we are made in the image of God and are equal. Genesis 1:26. Do you want to turn to that? Give you a moment to find it. So Genesis 1:26. God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is why you are special. This is why you are an eagle and not a chicken. You are made in the image of God. You have the dignity of reflecting the image of God in the world. This applies to male and female equally. So turn on to the next verse, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Men and women are equal because they are equally made in the image of God. We are a special act of creation. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. We We are a special act of creation. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. We're not just the byproduct of impersonal forces. God was doing something special and unique when he created humanity. He breathed into us. He gave us life. He made us living beings. Humanity has unique status as being in the image of God. The animals are not made in the image of God. Humans are not animals. David Attenborough always talks about us as if we are just animals. We are not. We are in the image of God. God breathed into us and gave us life. This means human life is sacred. Animal life is not. You can kill a pig and eat it, but if you do that to a person, that is murder and cannibalism. Our society is very confused. We are sentimental about animals and careless about people. So the fox is more protected than the unborn child. This is utter foolishness. And for our topic tonight, it is highly dangerous to tell people that they are no more valuable than animals. Because we are uniquely in the image of God, this means abortion is wrong. Now I realize some here may have had abortions. There is always healing and forgiveness with God. Jesus died for the sin of abortion. There are people who can help you recover from the trauma and the guilt of abortion. But it must be said, abortion is wrong because life is sacred. Life is in the image of God. Having said that, Christian thinkers allow abortion when the mother's life is at risk, for example, in ectopic pregnancy. A contact of ours recently had an abortion because the baby was not going to live, and it was healthier to terminate the pregnancy. The lady was very aware of the tragedy of what she had suffered. There are always going to be grey areas at the edges of this discussion. But the fundamental point is that life is sacred, and therefore abortion is wrong. Life is sacred, and therefore euthanasia is wrong. Again, I had a man in my last church. He was dying of brain cancer, and he was very unwell. He had a muscle spasm in his diaphragm. He had a sort of permanent hiccups, and he was in great pain, so the doctors recommended giving him pain relief, but at such a dose that it would kill him. This wasn't euthanasia. He was being given pain relief, which would kill him, but the intention was to relieve the pain. I'm told by doctors that this is common, and it is right that we should relieve pain, even if the pain relief ultimately kills. But we should not conclude a human is just an animal. Therefore, they have no soul. Therefore, there is no afterlife. Therefore, the kindest thing to do for a suffering person is kill them. Life is sacred. We are in the image of God. And we do have souls. We go on being ourselves after we die. And if we die without Christ, we go to hell. So we're not necessarily putting the person out of their misery. Life is sacred. We are made in the image of God. So are you rubbish? No. You are precious. You are valuable. You are not an accident. God designed that you should be here. You are not to be disposed of. Very clearly, suicide is wrong. You have a purpose and a dignity and a value. And those of us who come from working class cultures, who didn't go to such good schools, who don't have much money, who don't feel very good about ourselves, we need to remember we are just as much in the image of God as the person who has all the advantages, as the person who seems very successful. Very obviously, racism is wrong. All cultural imperialism is wrong. Which doesn't mean, for example, that if you see something in my culture which is ungodly, you shouldn't challenge it. You should challenge it. So the Victorian missionaries always get a bad press for imposing monogamy on polygamous tribes, for example. There was proud Victorian cultural supremacy, land of hope and glory. But it was right for the Victorian missionaries to point out what was unbiblical. What was wrong was expecting Calcutta to become Tunbridge Wells culturally. That just created hatred of the ruling class. When Becker's forebear went to be a missionary to China, Stanley Smith, he dressed like a Chinaman. He adopted the culture. That's the way to do missionary work. So we are made in the image of God and are equal. Secondly, we are fallen into sin and are equal. You all know the story. Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and this is disobedience. God told them they could eat from any other tree in the Garden of Eden, but they had to disobey, didn't they? They had to rebel. They had to make themselves God. And this is what our society does all the time. We are God. We decide morality. We decide what religion is. It's the human condition. It's the human disease. And it's called sin. Look up Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. We call this the fall. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And because sin came into the world, death came too. In this way, death came to all people. So, the perfect image of God in us is marred. We become sinful, whereas God is perfect. We become mortal, whereas God is immortal. But in this, we're all the same. We love to think, oh, I'm better than her. I'm better than him. I'm not as bad as her. I'd never do what he did. And the truth is, we all have the same sin disease. When I see my brother sin, I must not think, gosh, I'm superior. What I must think is, there but for the grace of God go I. I am a sinful man. I do not deserve to be your pastor. I do not deserve to be a Christian. And the only thing which stops me descending to the depths of depravity is, of course, my upbringing, the social pressure of family and friends, fear of breaking the law, fear of prison. These are all factors, but supremely, what keeps me from disaster is the grace of God. He is keeping me. So Jesus says in John 10, 27 and 29. Can you look at that? John 10, 27 and 29. Look at how Jesus is keeping us here. My sheep listen to my voice, says Jesus. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I am being kept from great sin because I am a sheep. Very humbling. I am a silly old sheep. I'm very prone to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, fail to do the right thing. I am a very silly sheep. But Jesus knows me. And by his grace, I am following him. I know I have no other shepherd. He gives me eternal life, and I shall never perish in hell, because no one can snatch me out of his hand. The Father gave me to the Son. He said, here you are. Here is one for you to save. And no one can snatch me out of the Father's hand. We are being kept. We are being held. And this keeps us from great sin. We are made in the image of God and are equal. We are fallen into sin and are equal. And very importantly, in our fallenness, in our sinfulness, we still bear the image of God. The image is marred, but we still bear it. Life is still sacred. So, after the fall, no need to turn to this one, in Genesis 9:6, God gives Noah the authority to establish the death penalty for murder. He says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man, shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his image. The image of God remains after the fall. The sanctity of life remains. We are made in the image of God and are equal. We are fallen into sin and are equal. And thirdly, we are saved by Jesus and are equal. It's a terrible thing to say that we are so bad that we deserve hell. I freely admit this is a challenge to self-esteem. And therefore, a lot of Christian thinkers who are concerned about self-image, self-worth, downplay sin. For goodness sake, don't mention that we're sinners. This will just make them feel even worse. And in the short term, it does. Think of all the great hymns. Think of Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, it's a strong word, isn't it? Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. This is biblical Christianity. You have to be brought low before you can be raised up. But we are raised up, aren't we? In Christ, we are restored to being eagles who soar. When I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We are equal in being saved by Jesus. And what I want you to understand is this. Am I rubbish? No. Everything that is pure and good about Jesus is now true of you in him. Do you remember the story of Noah when God flooded the earth? And the only way to be safe was to be in the ark. In the same way, the only way to be safe from sin and hell is to be in Jesus. He is the ark. But once you are in Jesus, in the ark, you are safe. And here's the amazing part. Everything that is true of Jesus, apart from his deity and glory, all that is good about Jesus is now true of you. And faith in Jesus is the gateway to all of God's blessing, which we begin to experience in this life and experience completely in heaven. I think the great thing about this is it means I've got nothing to prove. We've got nothing to prove. Created in the image of God, we did nothing to earn this. I'm a sinner. The image is marred. There's nothing I can do about that. But the image of God is restored. And this is entirely thanks to Jesus, isn't it? I take no credit. It's all of him. So I've got nothing to prove. If we could get hold of that and really believe that, that would be liberating. Well, I've got some verses for you to look at in groups now. The point of this, really, it's all about who I am in Christ. So who I am in my sinful self is a hell-deserving sinner. But who I am in Christ, as we've been trying to clarify, is perfect and righteous and whole. And my life has an amazing purpose and dignity. So I want you to look up in these groups and just discuss, how do these verses encourage us to think rightly about who we are now that we're Christians? So you're going to have to turn your chairs around, I'm afraid. I don't know, groups of 4 to 6, perhaps, whatever seems convenient. I hope you're feeling that you have tremendous dignity and worth in God's sight. In our group, we just got through the fact that we are children of God, eternally loved children of God, friends. Jesus calls us his friends. And we are justified. So there is no accusation that Satan can throw at us. We have peace with God. And I encourage you to take those sheets home, and you might like to go through all those verses in your own time and just take on board how God views us in Christ. Because if we can really believe these truths about ourselves, we will not feel rubbish. We won't feel inferior. We won't feel anxious. So I'm preaching to myself, to all of us, to really get hold of these truths. Let them sink in and do us good. Thank you very much for coming this evening. It's lovely to see you all. Good night.